Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6:10 and 1 Corinthians 14:10. I read from verse 9 of Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is the theme of the program, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 10. And this is what the word of the Lord says. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. So by the grace of God, I'll be speaking on the subject, as it is in heaven, part 2. I will encourage those of you who probably were not here on Friday to get a copy of that message, because I'm just going to build on it and then summarize it and tie it together so that you can understand the focus of what the Lord has given me to emphasize in this program. Let us pray. And so, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your wonderful loving kindnesses and tender mercies. Thank you for the way you blessed us during this time with the ministry of Pastor Motosho, Apostle Arome, and all the other people who have come. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the protocol. Thank you for the security. Thank you for everyone who has contributed in one way or the other, to one degree or another, to the success of this program. Father, you said no one can do anything for your kingdom, but will receive their reward. For your word says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You are not unrighteous to forget their various labors of love. And according to what everybody has done, in line with what you instructed them to do, Father, I pray that you will reward them. For those who have come and attended with all their heart, all their soul, have made sacrifices and left other things to attend to these, oh God, my prayer is that their reward will be massive as well, in Jesus' name. Thank you for anointing me to share this word the way you have revealed it to me. And thank you to help me to minister according to the unction which is upon me to function this morning. We ask that you take the glory, Father, and take the praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I said, among other things, on Friday, that there is something very particularly disturbing to me, which has been a matter of concern, and that is how to get people interested in what the Bible refers to as the will of God. When we are talking about as it is in heaven, what is it that is in heaven? What is the most supreme thing that is in heaven? Now, heaven is a place where something fundamental happens, and that is, it's a place where the will of God is done. Not the will of man, not the will of politicians, not the will of the Republicans, not the will of the Democrats, not the will of the majority, not the will of some minority, but the will of God. So he says, thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. So when we talk about as it is in heaven, what is it in heaven that is done? It is the will of God. That is the most supreme thing that is done in heaven. Even when Jesus Christ came here, that was his intention. He said it, among other things, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. He said, lo, I come, that is coming to this world, to do your will. Came to do your will. He said, among other things, that he did not come to seek his own will, but the will of his Father. So which means that when Jesus came to this earth, his emphasis was to make sure that the will of God in heaven, as it is in heaven, is established on the earth. And Jesus came to give us a pattern, give us an example. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, whosoever does not have the Spirit of Christ is none of his. So he came to give us a pattern after which we ourselves should exercise ourselves. And that is, our exercise should be to insist on ensuring that the will of God is done. It's done anywhere and everywhere and in every and all things that you and I are involved in. Let me give you a definition of the will of God. The will of God can be defined as the deliberate design of God for us. It means that which has been purposed for, planned for, and which is graciously desired for us. So we need to involve ourselves, be committed to that, and ensure that the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. It's already done in heaven. The will of God is already done in heaven. But God wants it to be enforced on the earth. God is the king of all the earth, not just the king of heaven. He is the king of all the earth. And he has left you and I here and put us here so that we can establish his will here on earth. Now, last Friday I said six things about the will of God. And I'll just summarize it. I said, number one, we need to know that in everything and about everything, there is something called the will of God. There is a will of God as to what you need to do. There is a will of God as to who you need to be or who you need to be with. There is a will of God as to where you ought to be. There is a will of God as to when certain things ought to be done. There is a will of God for how certain things need to be done. There is a will of God as to the motives or why certain things need to be done. So you need to know there is something called the will of God. And whatever you are doing at all times, let that be your focus. You want to get married, you want to build a house, you want to start a ministry, ensure that the will of God is the primary focus. Not what you will, not what others will, but the will of God. So there's something called the will of God. You may never have been taught, but you can teach yourself. You can exercise yourself to know that there's something called the will of God. The will of God as to where you should live. The will of God as to who you should be with. The will of God as to what you should do. The will of God as to how you should do it. The will of God as to what time to do it. Jesus Christ was a full expression of what the will of God is like in the human form. He said in John chapter 8 verse 29, my Father who sent me is always with me, and have not let me alone, because I do always those things that are well pleasing in his sight. And what is it that is pleasing in God's sight? His will. His will is pleasing in his sight. And when you want your way to be pleasing before the Lord, then establishing his will here on earth should be your priority. It should be your focus. It should be the reason for which you labor. Not his will plus some other person's will. Not his will plus your own will. But the will of the Lord is what should be done. And 1 John 2:17 says, whosoever doeth the will of the Lord shall abide forever. Which means there is a legacy. For anyone who does the will of God, there is a legacy. For anyone who does the will of God, there is a lasting effect. For anyone who does the will of God, whatever you do or you are involved in, not just be a flash in the pan. So the will of God should be something that we establish. So we need to know that there is something called the will of God. Number two, I also said last Friday that we all need to seek, not just know there is the will of God for everything, but we need to seek the will of God. We should want to know what it is at all times. Jesus Christ said in John 5:30, I seek not my own will, for I'm not trying to do my own will. That is what some translation says. He said, because my aim is not to do my own will. And one translation says, I'm not seeking to do my own will. That's not what I'm seeking for. I'm not seeking to do my own will. You need to get to that point where you'll be able to say, look, I'm being in ministry not because of my own will. It's not what I will. I'm in the United States not because of what I will to do, but because the Lord wants me to be here. Psalm 37 verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delights in his ways. Which means when you are doing the will of God, God delights in your ways. So we need to understand that we need to seek it. Seek it. Among other things, you should seek. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things Don't seek things, seek the will of God. You see, when you are in the will of God, every good gift and every perfect gift will come from above to support and nourish you and ensure you have what you need to have for the kind of life God wants to live. Number three, I also said, we also need to pray for it to be done on earth. If you don't know what the will of God is yet, pray for it. After you know what the will of God is, keep praying. Because for the will of God to be done, it needs prayer support. It needs prayer support, nourishment. You need to support with prayer. Your marriage is not good, support with the prayer, the will of God. Your marriage is good, keep supporting with the prayer. Your ministry is fine, support with the prayer. Your ministry is going through challenges, support with prayer. Your career is fine, support with the prayer. So we need to pray. Prayer is God's way of establishing the will. When Jesus Christ had an issue where there was a clash between his will and the will of his Father, it was prayer that liberated him from wanting to insist on his own will. When the time came for him to go to the cross, there was a crisis. There was his will. He didn't want to go anymore. Not because he had children or houses. Not because he had things that he had invested. But the sheer pain of it. And so he went and prayed. He invited some other prayer warriors. And they went to sleep. In Matthew chapter 26. You can read from verse 39. Down there. And he prayed three times. And he was praying for the same thing. And was praying for the same thing. Oh, if it's possible, Lord, I want this cup to be taken away from me. I want this thing to be stopped. I mean, I prayed like that. When God told me that it was his will for me to be in the lorry, when God told me it was his will for me to leave my lecturing and to come into ministry, I prayed. I knew what his will was, but then your flesh comes in. The flesh will lust against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And I didn't want to anymore yield to it. You know, and I had to be praying. And it was prayer that liberated me. Just like he did to Jesus. The Bible said he was in agony. Luke 22:44, being in agony. I mean, the capillaries on his forehead broke. That was prayer. I remember years ago, I saw one book, Prayer Made Easy. I said, real prayer is not easy. I mean, if you say prayer made, I don't understand. They say holiness is easy. How can holiness be easy? Holiness is God's nature, and we are not God. We are men. No. We have the God nature in us. You know, all I say unto you, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High God. You know, he said, but you die like men and pray like one of the princes. According to Psalm 82, verse 5 to 6. So, I had issues. I didn't want to leave my lecturing job. I didn't want to leave the comfort of big cities and big nations. I wanted, but he said, look, this is it. And I had to struggle. And it was prayer that liberated me. If you know God wants you to do something and you don't feel like doing it, the way to be liberated is not to go for deliverance. It is self-deliverance. And one way to activate that is by praying. Jesus prayed. Then he concluded after the third time. He said, well, not as I will, but the will be done. That is all this emphasis of this conference. Is to establish the will of God on the earth. And that in wherever you find yourself. You know, so it's important for us to realize that. We need also to pray for the will of God to be done. Then number four, I said, among other things, that as believers, we need, as it were, to understand the will of God. But let me tell you something about understanding the will of God. The will of God is understood backward, not forward. God may not tell you everything why he's asking you to stay in this city. Why he's asking you not to take that wife. Why he's asking you not to buy that house. But if after the things have happened and you surrendered yourself, you cannot look at it and then you see the wisdom in it. The will of God is understood backward, not forward. The will of God is understood backward. You only know what the will of God is after you have submitted yourself to the will of God. Then you now see why he asks that that be done. I never understood why God wanted me to stay in the lorry. But after I stayed and I obeyed, and I can see the fruit of my ministry, I cannot understand why he had to ask me to stay in the lorry. I didn't understand why God made me the way he made me. Until after I now started fulfilling my purpose, I started going all over the places, ministering according to the abilities that God gives. I cannot understand why God made me go through those experiences early in life. The will of God is understood backward. That was what Jacob said in the book of Genesis 50, verse 20. He said, you meant it for evil, But God meant it for good. So the will of God has to be understood as it were backwards. So it's important for us to understand what the will of God is. The Bible says, don't be unwise. You see, because at times you go through some things and you think, this is unfair. Why are you leaving me in this small town? Why are you asking me not to go to the U.S.? Why are you asking me not to relocate to Canada? Why? And it's only later you now understand that it's because of God's purpose for your life. That is why he allowed those things to happen the way they happened. It's important for you to understand the will of God. Ephesians 5:17, be not unwise, understand what the will of God is. I mean, Jesus Christ was busy, you know, washing the feet of the apostles. And Peter said, no, I won't allow you to. I won't allow you to. And he had to tell him, he said, that which I do now, you know not of. He said, you know hereafter. Later on, Peter looked back and understood. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit helped Peter to understand what Joel was talking about in Joel chapter 2. So it's important. I remember that I was reading some years ago in the book of John chapter 6. And Jesus Christ was preaching to people about the Holy Communion. But you see, at that time, their level of understanding was not that high. So he told them, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life in yourself. Ah! The people said, this is a strange saying, you know. Is this man trying to turn us to vampires? But he was talking about the Holy Communion. And they couldn't grasp it then because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. But you see, later, when he said, this is my flesh, in Matthew 26, when he was telling them, this is my flesh, this is my blood, they were now able to understand what he was trying to let them understand in John 6. Actually, in John 6, because of that teaching, the Bible said many of the apostles, disciples, left Jesus. He said, what's all this? This man wants to turn us to cannibal. He said, we should eat his flesh. How about? That's what we came out from. Is he now putting us back into it? So at times, that is what it takes. Understanding is the wellspring of life to him that has it. And that is why you and I need understanding. Proverbs 4:5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding also. So the fourth thing as believers, we need to understand the will of God. The fifth thing as believers is that we need to do his will. Do his will. And that is what this conference is about. Emphasizing the need for you to do the needful. To answer to the call of God on your life. To answer to the call of God upon your home. To answer to the call of God upon your career. To answer to the call of God upon how you should use money. Money was given to us to be a servant, not to be a master. Money is a good messenger, but a bad servant. Take money and use it for what gave it to you for. If you don't, I remember as a young pastor, I was praying to God to bless some of our church members. And the money was not coming. And God said, listen to me. He said, please speak to them. He said, money, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, the cattle upon the thousand hills is mine. All things were made by me, and without me was not the man that was made. Before me, there was nothing, and after me, there will be nothing. I am all things put together. He said, but tell your people that if they are going to use money that I'm going to give them for the purpose for which unbelievers also get money, he said, then what justification, what basis will there be for me to give them the money? He said, I will only give them the money if they will use it for the purpose for which I give money. What is for something? And it has to be used for the right thing. If you want more money from God, now the question is, into what use? Why do you want the money? Why do you want to make money? I was in a pastor's church, and I was complaining about growth. The church is not growing. I wish this church will grow. I'm ready to die for this church to grow. I'm ready to go to any extent. And God said, ask him, why does he want the church to grow? Is it because to improve his curriculum vitae? And say, I'm the pastor of the biggest church in town. He said his motives are wrong. It means the will of God for church growth is not for you to pride yourself about it. It's not for you to, it's not for you to now try to become a celebrity pastor. The will of God is because his church, and the church of God must grow in influence, must affect and reach out to other people. So I told the pastor, I said, you know your problem? He said, no. I said, your problem is not with the devil. Your problem is not with your members. Your problem is with God. It is God's church, but you want to grow the church for your own curriculum, for your own CV to be great, so that they will be selling. That's the pastor of that big church. Oh, that's the pastor of that. I said, but they will, you want to lose sight of God. God wants to be glorified. Where the will of God is established, the glory belongs to God. 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promise of God in Christ are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. God wants to get the glory. These people have I formed for myself. Isaiah 3:21, they will show forth my praise. He created us for his pleasure. He created us to be a source of satisfaction for him. And we must establish his will, because that is what will bring our lives out in the best way God intends. Now, number six, which is the reason for this message, is that I want you to understand this. We need to know about the will of God, that the sixth thing we need to know about the will of God is that he will always communicate it to us. If you are going to do his will on earth as it is in heaven, God will always communicate it. John 7:17 says, he that will do my will know of my doctrines. He will always communicate it. He will always go to all extents to make sure he communicates it. And how does God communicate it? That is what I want to speak about in the next few minutes. God communicates his will by speaking to us about it. By speaking to us about it. So you and I need to recognize God's voice. We need to recognize God's voice. We can never establish or not what is in heaven if we do not know about what is in heaven as to what the will of God is for the earth. I remember when I was going to, stay in the lorry, and God said, I want you to stay in the lorry. And I said, why should I stay in the lorry? The lorry is the second, has the second largest mosque in sub-Saharan Africa. In the lorry, gather any five people together, three of them are Muslims, and not just ordinary Muslims, but fundamental Muslims. Why should I stay here? Why don't I go to a Christian city? Why don't I go to a city where, you know, there are many Christians already? I will never forget what God told me. He said, I want you to make a learning relevant on the globe of the earth, so that they will know that as a root out of a dry ground, something good can come out of a learning. And you know, it shocked me. Why is it me that have to do that? Why not you? Before he formed you, he knew you. Before he brought you forth, he had something in mind that he wanted to use your life for. He had something in mind. And so God said, when I was making you and putting you together, I put together someone who was resilient. Someone who could suffer, who could go through all the hardship, who could go through all the tough experiences that Lori has to offer. I can tell you that living in Lori, I can live anywhere in the world. I can tell you it's a difficult place to live in. In those days when I started out as a gospel minister in the Lord, after I gave my life to Christ in 1980, there was no fellowship, no Pentecostal fellowship, no charismatic fellowship. There was only one Christian fellowship in the whole town, and it was called Christian Life Club. It was a club. It was called Christian Life Club. And whenever we go to that Bible study in those days, they will be arguing. People will be arguing and say, am I a member of a debating society? And that was it. No church was Bible believing. And God said, that's why I raised you up here. So that you preach the word, you nourish the ground with your word, you break the ground with the word. Because the word of God is the strongest thing. That was what God used to create the heavens and the earth. If you see Lori and where it has got into and everyone is now coming, there were some of us who had to use our head to crack it open. We had to fight the battle in the realm of the spirit. Today, there are land forces. People are planting churches and they are growing. In those days when we started, for two, three people, for you to see somebody who is a Christian brother, born again, spirit filled, it was very scarce. It's like going to Iceland and looking for a Yoruba Bulasela. I mean, that was almost impossible. But that was what God said. So, for us to do the will of God, we need to know what it is. And for us to know it, then we need to hear God speak to us about it. And that is what I want to speak of very briefly. As a believer, When today you talk about hearing from God, many believers will look at you as if it's a strange thing. Then you say, God said, God said, God said. When we became Christians, people did what God said. You see everywhere people are saying, God said to me, God said to me, the Holy Spirit said to me, the Holy Spirit said. But nowadays you don't find that to be common. You know, people look at you as if it's strange. While some people think, does God still speak? Or indeed, does he speak to people? Others argue that is it necessary for God to speak to you about everything? Is it necessary for God to speak to me as where I should live? Is it necessary for God to speak to me as to what I should do with my life? Is it necessary for God to speak to me as to how I should use my money? Today I always tell Christians, many Christians, and I say it all over the place where I go, I started paying tithe as a Christian, not out of a tradition, but as of a personal encounter with God. And today, by the grace of God, I don't pay 10% anymore. I stopped paying 10%, I can't remember the year. Today, by the grace of God, I pay 50% of my income as tithe. Now, it was God who encouraged it. 10% is the minimum. Then God showed me tithe in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 1, 2. God made everything and he put man in charge. And he told man, of everything you eat, but don't touch this. Then you touch this, we'll fight. That is a principle. It's called the principle of ownership and stewardship. Tithe was not something that started with the law. It is something in the plan and the program of God to show that he owns it. For you to show you own something, you give some people opportunity to enjoy everything, but you put the limit you desire so that at least at the end, they know that it's not their own. Because your life is not yours. All that you earn is not yours. Your life is not yours. They say, some people say, it's my life, it's my life. It's not life. Your life is a gift. It's given to you as a loan. You will return it. A day will come when you die. Your body will go to the ground. Your spirit will return to God who made it. So it's not your life as you think it is. It's not your life. It was God who produced it. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. Paul plant, Apollo water, God gave the increase. So it's not of him that planted or he that watered, but God that gave the increase. So you are going to give that life to God. And God said, use that life to do my will. That's what I want. I gave it to you for a purpose. And the purpose for which I gave it to you is to establish my will here on earth. God put Adam in the garden for the purpose to establish the will of God on the earth, in the garden. But he went against God's order by listening to the devil. So, God needs to be involved about everything. If you give your life to God, what else do you have? Your life is the most important asset you have. If your life is not given to God, now, is there any other thing that you need to hold back from him? That is why doing his will must be primary, must be the focus, must be the concentration. And how do you do it? By him telling you. And the Bible has a lot to say, despite what doubters and skeptics may say. God's word has a lot to say about God speaking to us, about God speaking to us about what he wants us to do, about where he wants us to be, about what he wants us to do with what he has given us. What he wants you to do with your youth. He said, remember now your creator in the days of your youth. In the morning, he says, sow your seed. In the evening, we told you have from sowing. He says, morning, evening, and noon, pray. Now, he is the one telling you this, my will. And he gave you the life. So what is the struggle about? I don't know why we struggle about these things. But you see, whatever God's will is about anything, he will always say. Now, as to whether you recognize it or not, is a different thing. I remember I was reading Exodus one day. I was reading Exodus chapter 6 to Exodus chapter 13. At the beginning of every chapter, Exodus 6, 1, you can check this later. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Moses, saying, Exodus 7, 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, saying, Exodus 8, 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, saying, Exodus 9, 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, saying, Exodus 10, 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, saying, now, God spoke to Moses line upon line, precept upon precept, because though Moses was called by God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, he couldn't have done it without knowing what the will of God was. Jesus was called to come and save the world. He couldn't do it without knowing what the will of God was. So the communication of God to us is for us to know that you are in this earth at God's pleasure, and you cannot be who he supposed designed you to be without doing what his will is. And the Bible is very clear. Revelations 2 verse 11, Revelations 2 7, Revelations 2 17, Revelations 2 29, Revelations 3 6, 3 13, 3 22. He said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. 1 Timothy 4, what the Spirit of God speaketh expressly. God is in the business of speaking and letting us know what his will is. That is what you need to understand. He will not ask you to do something and not tell you. One man came to me some years ago. He said, I have the call of God, but I don't know what to do. I said, either you don't have the call of God, or you have not waited long enough to know what he needs to tell you to do. Because a child, you see, God cannot send you on an errand without giving you a message, without giving you a place where it should be shared, without giving you how you should go about it. When God came into the ministry, he told me exactly. He said, take my word to the nations. And he told me how to go about it. Until now, one thing I can say, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now, I've made other mistakes, but one mistake I've never made, and which I will never make, is to subject the will of God to my own desire or to the longing of the people. The people don't determine what I do. I don't even have a choice to. It's not my work, it's his work. And if it is work, it is his will that needs to be done. It's not my life, it's his life that he gave me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liberated me. The life which I now live in the flesh, said I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself. See, I'm dead in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. In Christ I die, in Christ I'm alive. So the life I live is the life of God. And that life is supremely committed to doing the will of God like Jesus did. Jesus said, my Father who sent me is always with me, because I do always. I've been to some places and some things have happened, and I always said, no, God who sent me is with me. I'm here to do his will. And if I'm here to do his will, then his protection is round about me. His preservation is round about me. His commitment and support is round about me. God told us to build an auditorium, a big auditorium, fully air conditioned. We didn't have silver or gold, but I had a vision and a dream of what God wanted us to build. I had an idea of the design God gave me. I shared with the architect who was a student, a member of our church. He's a big time architect in Canada. And he put it together the way I described it to him. And God financed it. We got to a point one time when we were building that facility. Money was finished. And I said to God, now this is your will. You say we should establish your will here. We are building this facility, 7,000 seater, fully air conditioned. This was in the 90s. I mean, it was tough. And the money finished. So I told God, I said, what do you do? He said, wait on me. So I said, okay, there's no problem. I told the building committee, you are hereby dissolved. The committee is no longer necessary. God said, so we started going to the building. Every day we'll pray. We'll go there. Every day we'll pray. We'll go there. We scheduled 2 weeks of prayer. On the 10th day of prayer, as we were praying there, some of my practical officers said, sir, there is a man here who came from Abuja. He says he wants to see you. I said, oh, we're in prayer. He said, well, just give him 2 minutes. So the man came and said, well, God has been speaking to me for 21 days, and I'm just here to give you this letter. So I said, good. 21 days, God has been speaking to you. That's a very serious thing. Speaking to you for 21 days, it took you 21 days to obey. So he handed the letter over to me. You know, some people, until he twist their neck or put them inside a fish belly like Jonah, they will not understand. So I got the letter, I put it in my pocket. Sincerely, he said letter, and I put it in my pocket. So he left without even knowing who he was. Before he left completely, one of the officers said, sir, why don't you open the letter? I said, no, this is prayer time. We can't be opening letter. He said, well, just, he said 21 days and all that. There may be something in it. You know, that's why you need to have ears. You know, at times you think you know everything, but you know not yet like you ought to know. That is why the strength of a king at times is in his faithfuls. You need faithful men around you. Faithful men who will be able to speak to you like they spoke to Naaman. You know, Naaman was going to disappear in 2 Kings 5. But one of the pastors said, sir, if they ask you to do something serious, will you not do it? So I opened the letter. You know what was in the letter? A check of 100 million naira. This was in the 90s. I did the advertisement on TV. How could I even have that? Somebody who doesn't have money. Who bomb monkey? Somebody who doesn't have money to make ends meet. A check. I said, follow him. Problem is, they don't check. They followed him. They couldn't find the man again. The name of the company that was on the check, I've never seen that company before. I didn't know how to trace it. I said, okay, let's wait until Sunday and Monday so I will pay it in. I remember it was Friday evening. So I took the check. Everyone was, our mind was like, about five people followed me to the bank in case I collapsed in the bank. You know why your hope had been raised? And I took the check there and we paid it in. And I asked, I said, is there money in the account? They said, yes. I said, is there money in the account? I said, yes. He said, he has even authorized that we should release it. Ah, what kind of a thing is this? 100 million. Today, man. Now, what am I trying to let you understand? What I'm saying is this, that is his will. And he speaks to us to enforce it. When he told me to go and pray, it was my own responsibility to pray. He won't pray for me, but I started praying. And as I was praying, heaven cooperated on earth. The will of God that is done already in heaven. You see, when God orders something, it's already formed in heaven. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So that the things that we see that we are made from things that do not appear. That's why he called those things that be not as though they were, because they're already in heaven. And so when he calls them forth, they are now done on earth as already established in heaven. It's already settled in heaven. So when he speaks them to us, it is a statement of intention that you can go ahead and cooperate with this thing and see the results. Ladies and gentlemen, the way God tells us about his will is to speak to us. Proverbs 20:12, he said, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord has made them both. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Ezekiel 12:25, he said, behold, I'm the Lord and I speak, and the thing that I say, they come to pass. So when God says things and they come to pass, when God now speaks to us about what his will is, with our cooperation, we'll see the result. As it is done in heaven, we need to cooperate with what God tells us for it to be done on the earth. And God is always known to speak to us. That is why you need to have a listening ear. You need to develop your capacity to hear God. Psalm 62 verse 11, he said, once he said it, twice I hear it. James 1:19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You must develop your capacity to hear God. Some people ask me, what is the greatest asset you have? I say, my ability to hear God. That's been my greatest capacity. To hear God for his will. If you see me do something, it's because I know he already wills it, because he has already said it. And I heard him. Some people say, how are you going to take the word of God to the nations? I say, he already said it to me. Isaiah 55 verse 11, so shall my words be that proceed out of my mouth. It shall not return to you void. It shall accomplish that which you please and prosper in that into which I send it. He sent his word, and his word healed them. Psalm 107 verse 20, and his word delivered them from all their destruction. Your capacity to hear is going to be one of the greatest assets in the days ahead. Because God will, you see, one of the principles, there is something called the ways of God. Psalm 103 verse 7. He said, God made his ways known unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Alright, look at that. He made his way known unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. People want to see the acts of God without knowing the ways of God. Now what I know is about the ways of God. I am a specialist in the ways of God. When I tell you that thing you are looking at, it's not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out, you better take it to the bank. Because some people think, oh, I have to. One of my sons came to me. He was going to buy a church building. Listen to this one. This is in England. A church known as Revival Christian Church of England, of Enfield, rather. He said, sir, we want to buy a church building and it's £1 million. And the bank, HSBC, says we should go and bring £300,000 as equity participation, whatever you call, those of you in mortgage know this. We need to bring that amount of money before they can give us the £1 million. He said, so I've just come to you, sir, so that you can help. Now, when he came to me, he was looking for gold and silver. But you know what I told him? I said, silver or gold have I none. I said, but such as I have, give I thee. I I mean, some people think because you don't have silver gold, you don't have such as I have. I tell you, I have such as I have. I tell people, I have such as I have. So he said, what do you have? I said, I'm going to give you some instructions. I said, 2 Sundays from now, after the service, close the door. When you have closed the door, tell people that this is the instruction I've given you. And what was the instruction? I said you should share with the people that they needed to raise £300,000 that day, or else somebody is going to go home. He was shocked. He said, that's it. Prophetic instruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:11, as an apple of gold in a pitcher of silver, so is the word that is freely spoken. God's word does not return to him void. It accomplishes what he pleases and prospers in that which he senses. Psalm 89:34, my covenant will I not break, neither will I take back the words that have proceeded out of my mouth. So the man went to church that day. He told everybody, disclaimer. He said, well, what I'm about to say is not me who said it. He said, you know, Reverend John, with his ways. You know, the Bible said in Psalm 67:2, that your ways, O Lord, may be known in all the earth, your saving strength among the nations. We need to know the ways of God. He made his ways known unto Moses. And how did he make it known? And God said unto Moses. Exodus 6:1, 7:1, 8:1, 9:1, 10:1, 11:1, 12:1, 13:1. And the Lord said unto Moses. That was how he made his way known. How did he make it known? By telling him. God's ways are God's will. God's ways are God's plans. Some other translation, Psalm 103:7 says, and he made his plans known unto Moses. Psalm 139:17, he said, how precious are your thoughts towards me? The sum of them is very great. Actually, one translation says, how precious are your plans about for me? The sum of them is great. How does he make it known? He speaks to us. For as long as your ear has the capacity to listen, you will always be able to know what the will of God is about everything. So this guy told the church that day, they said, well, we are going to collect the money today. Nobody's going to leave until the money is collected. He said, it's not my order. It's Reverend George's order. You know him now. You know him. He's been here before. So when he said that, a man is just a touch of 30 people. A man raised up his hand like this. He said, excuse me. Then the man told them a story. The man said he is a minister from one of the Caribbean island nations, a minister of government. He said, after he retired, after 35 years of serving in the government of this Caribbean nation, he relocated to the UK and he bought a house along the street where the church was now located as a fellowship center. He said when he came here, there was no church along that street. He said that he's been praying to God to send the church. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's not the number of people praying with you that matters, but the extent to which your heart is in your prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Elijah was a man, not a group of men, not several men, not an angel. It was a man, subject to like passions as you are. But he prayed. And with prayer, he locked the doors of heaven. There was no rain for 42 months. At the end, he prayed again. And the heavens opened and the rain fell. So the man told, he said, so when I came out praying, he said, so about 5 weeks ago, I was passing here and I heard this sound of drum sets and staccato of music, and I was hearing prayer and worship. He said, so I came in and I joined your service. He said, I came. He said, when I was praying, God told me, listen, God told me, he said, the church I'm going to bring, which you have asked me to bring, any day they say they want money to buy church building, give it to them. God had gone ahead to prepare. He had gone ahead to establish his will. So the man says, I know for the people here, there is no way we can collect £320,000. He said, but what God told me when I was praying was that he was going to bring a church after his own heart. I mean, that church is a church of praying people. I was with them in February. I've been with them for as long as they have existed. So he said, sir, he was talking to his pastor. And I said, sir, you don't need to bother the people. I'm going to give you a check of £300,000. I will have given you the money for the entire thing. But because I want my brethren here to contribute their own, so I will not be the only rich man in this church. But others will also contribute. He says, so I'm going to give them 5 to 10 minutes. If in 5 to 10 minutes they don't contribute, I will give you a check for 320,000, which is what we need. In 10 minutes, the other people contributed 35,000 pounds. So the man gave them the check. On Monday, before the guy went to pay in the check, he came to my house. He said, Daddy, it is working. It is working. It is working. It is working. That will of God was already established. While the man was praying, God has established that was going to be done. And that word that God gave me, which God spoke to me, was the connector between what God had already settled and what was going to be established. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is why you're stepping to be ordered. How? By the word. Psalm 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lamp to my feet for my steps and a light to my path. For every step you take daily, the word of God is a lamp there. So God speaks to us. Psalm 19 verse 2, day unto day uttered speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no language or tongue where their voice is not heard. God spoke to Moses. Numbers 12:8, talking about the relationship between God and Moses. He said God spoke to Moses mouth to mouth. Talking about God and Moses. Later on, Exodus 33:11, he said he spoke to Moses face to face. So we need to know that God speaks. And now in the next few minutes, I want to tell you 7 different ways in which God speaks to us as to what his will is. So if you have not developed your capacity to hear, any of these 7 will work. But it will work with your capacity to have a listening ear. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. God is always speaking. All around us are wavelengths of several radio stations. But unless you tune into the radio station, you can't know what is being said on that radio station. God is always speaking all the time. He speaks expressly. He's always saying something. He's always saying something. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret thing belongs to the Lord our God. The things that are revealed belong unto us. How does he reveal it? By saying it. In God's way of operation, before he does anything, you know what he does? He says it first. God has never been known to do something without saying it first. Isaiah 42:9, talking about the ways of God. He said, behold, the former things have come to pass. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. In Genesis, he said, let there be light, and then there was light. He says it first. Isaiah 43:18, remember the things of old, other concerning things that are past. Behold, I do a new thing. He said, before they spring forth, verse 19, I talk about them. Before Jesus Christ was born as the seed of the woman, you'll find it back in Genesis chapter 3. He said, the seed of this woman, not the seed of man. Jesus was the seed of the woman. The person who impregnated, if there is any way I can use that word, impregnated Mary, was the Holy Ghost. In fact, I was telling God one day, I said, listen, if you had pregnated my wife like that, I wouldn't believe it. When I was engaging my wife, and all of the day, one day I come, and he said, let me tell you something. I said, well, the Holy Ghost pregnant. Eh? How many of you will accept that kind of a pregnancy? That woman was a courageous woman, and that man was a more courageous man. A man who knew the ways of the Spirit. The ways of the Spirit are unpredictable. I mean, I was thinking about it. When I was courting my wife, you know, and she was a virgin, you know, I met her when she was 19. We eventually got married when she was 22, and I was courting her. One day I woke up in the morning and I said, what of him she tells you that he's pregnant by the Holy Ghost? I said, this one, we're going to research this well. But look at what Joseph did. He accepted it. That's a man of God. People talk about Mary so much. I talk about Joseph. Joseph was going to put her away privately. But God appeared to him and said, don't do that. You will see people who have established the will of God on the earth listening to God and obeying the voice of his word. What the angels obey are the voice of God's word. That is what the angels obey. Oh yes, always do what God says. angels obey what God's voice is to them. So listen to me as I say this to this morning or this early afternoon. Let me quickly go through the seven ways God speaks to us. And he's ready to speak to every one of us. Number one, the first way he speaks to us is through the word of God. It is the number one way he does speak to us. The more we are into the word, the more we hear him speak. God never shut his mouth until you shut your Bible. He gave us the Bible to teach us, to help us, to correct us, to show us how to live. It is for this reason that you and I need to read the word of God. I have read this Bible from Genesis to Revelation 380 times. And I'm still reading it. Now, reading the Bible is different from studying. Study is a different thing. It's different from meditating in the scriptures. Just reading. So for this course, you and I need to read. So many years ago, I learned that John Wesley read the Bible 100 times. I said to myself, I will beat him. There was a chap who was reading 80 chapters of the Bible every day. Now, there are so many ways of reading the Bible. I'm going to give three different ways of reading the Bible through in 1 year to pastor. You can read the Bible through in 1 year. I'll get the plan and give it to pastor. I have it. You can read the Bible through in 4 months. You can read the Bible through in 6 months. I'm going to give the various ways you can go about that. In these days, there are easy ways of reading the Bible. Audio Bible. Listening to Mark's Gospel alone, may probably not take you more than 35 minutes. Just listening to it. Audio Bible. Many of us have music in our cars, but what you need is the scriptures. What you need is the scriptures. You see, we glomerize music and we think, oh, music can be in the background. In my house, in the background of my house, it is scriptures that is pumping out of every speaker there. Scriptures. From a child that has known the scriptures. When Jesus Christ appeared to me, I will never forget, as a bachelor, sitting down in my house, on my table, he came in. There was a knock on my door. I said, come in if you are good looking. And Jesus walked through the door. He didn't open the door, he just walked through the door. When I saw him, I didn't know what to make of it. Am I dead? Have I just died? Am I in heaven? What is happening? I didn't know what to make of it. You know what he said to me? And I was reading the Bible. John 15 was opened on my lap. And he said to me, are you reading the scriptures? Those were the words. He didn't say Bible. He said scriptures. I said, wow. I said, yes. He sat down with me. I can't remember for how long. But he went through with me from John 15 verse 1 to 8. People who know me and know many of the messages I preach. I preached so many messages from that short visit. I had so many supernatural experiences, but that was one of them. So God speaks to us through the scriptures. But you and I need to read the word, study it, memorize it, hear it, and meditate in it. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it. Now let me tell you what meditate is. Listen to this. You see, when people read the Bible, they put it in their head. Your head is a temporary storage facility that cannot, the hard drive of your head is measurable. In 3 days, most of the things you put in your head will disappear because your head is a temporary storage facility. Where the scriptures is bound for is your heart. It is the hard drive of your heart that has limitless capacity. That is where the nature and the life of God, which is limitless, abide. He doesn't abide in your head. When you speak in tongue, you speak in tongue, hooking your tongue to your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You don't speak in tongue, hooking your mouth to your head. Those who do not move movies, see them speaking in tongue, they have hooked their mouth to their head, not to their heart. When you hook your tongue to your heart, you speak out of the abundance of what is in your heart. So what am I saying? When you read the word, it goes to your head. But it cannot stay in your head for more than 3 days. Because your head is a temporary storage. You need to transfer it to your heart. How do you not transfer it? With your mouth. And what is meditation? Meditation simply means to say what God's word says with your mouth. So that you can get into your heart. It is called mouth, heart, heart, mouth principle. That is the meaning of that word metelao in Greek for the word meditate, and the word lashuash in Hebrew, which means it is like ruminating. You know, that is what happens when animals with two stomachs, when they eat first into the first stomach. You know, they call them ruminants. Then after they have eaten, they now lie down and then regurgitate it and then masticate it and then throw it into the permanent stomach. So when you eat the word, it goes to your head. That is where it stays. But you have a responsibility and duty to transfer it from your head to your heart. That word have I hidden in my... Until the word of God gets to your heart, it will not do you any good. And until the word of God gets to your heart, it does not affect your feet. That is why you see people who quote the scriptures, but their life is not changed. Because the word of God has not taken root in their heart. Let me go ahead here. Number two, God does not just speak to us through his word. Another way God speaks to us is through ministry gifts and spiritual gifts. Ministry gifts, the apostles. Look at your fingers like this. When you look at your finger, that's the definition of ministry gifts. Your thumb is the ministry of the apostle. Your finger here is a prophetic ministry that points direction. Your longest finger is the evangelist, who reaches farthest. The third one here is your love finger, which is the ministry of a pastor. While the small finger that entered your ear is the ministry of a teacher. These ministry gifts, God can speak to us through them. He can speak to us through either when we are preaching or by certain revelations that God gives them. God uses them to let us know what the will of God is. Just like God used me to tell my son what the will of God is. But it's not a gift that I can bring out and put on anytime I want. Because some people think, oh, if you meet the prophet all the time, they will be in the spirit. And they will be able to give you a word. Now, they may give you a word by reason of use. But to precisely give you a word, they have to be in the spirit. I had apostle say this the other time. When he was teaching, he said when he finished teaching, he leaves the music ministry to put him. How many of you listen to that? To put him in the ministry where he can now. Now, some people will not understand that. They will think, what's he saying? Why can't you do what you are going to do? Why can't you pour down the anointing and let us fall down? I've been to some places, pour down the anointing and pour it down. Even the old time prophet says, unless there is a music ministry to help you. That's why the music ministry of people like tribe helps to put us in the spirit. You see, when there is good music, it's very good to minister in the anointing. But when the ministry is pafuka, 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 I stay away from such music. It's poison to my soul. I can't listen to them. They don't build up my spirit. But you, beloved, build it up yourself. So it's important for us to know that. So God can give us, make us know his will through these ministry gifts. Any of them. Your local pastor, the teacher. And the way you know that God is giving you a word as to his will through this. When they are speaking, they may not be even speaking to you directly. They'll be saying it generally. You will find as if to say the person knows you before. And that what he's saying fits you perfectly. As an apple of gold in the picture of silver. It will feel like, how? Look at. It's like this man knows my case. Have you ever been in church and pastor preached like that and you felt he was talking to you? Oh, this me. One woman came to me one day and said, oh, it was what I told your wife that he told you. You are not using that as prophecy. I said, ask my wife. She never told me anything. He said, every Sunday when I come here, you are talking about me. He said, do you gossip, sir, pastor? He didn't understand. But that was the will of God being made to her through the ministry gift of the pastor or the prophet or the evangelist or the apostle. Then I said through ministry gifts and spiritual gifts. There are nine spiritual gifts. You find them in 1 Corinthians 12. There are three of them that say something. The gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse kind of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Those are the three that say something. There are three of them that reveal something. The gift of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits. Those are the three gifts that reveal something. Then there are three gifts that do something. We call them the power gift. The gift of special faith, the gift of working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Through any of those gifts in manifestation, the will of God can be spoken to you. The will of God can be said. I went to a church one day. As I was leaving, about to leave, the assistant pastor walked up to me. And I said, why? He said, I'm the assistant pastor of this church. And I had the Holy Spirit say to me, he said, he's trying to leave the church. He's trying to break the church. I looked at him. I said, you are the assistant pastor? He said, yes. I said, yeah. So I called the pastor and I said, thus saith the Lord. Now, I never know that man. I said, the assistant pastor, your assistant pastor is trying to break the church. He's trying to leave the church. I said, no, it can't be true. I said, okay, just put it in a small napkin and hide it. You will need it when time comes. I'm like, you see, the point is that that is a manifestation of the Spirit. And the Bible said it's given to profit. And when the atmosphere is correct and the Spirit moves, there are such things that happen. Either the power gift, the gift of faith, where you believe God in such a way that whatever you say comes to pass the way you say it. It could be the gift of working on miracles or the gift of healings. I've seen manifestations of all these gifts in my life and ministry over the years. And God have used it to reveal his will. To reveal his will to people. So the separate way God's will can be revealed to you is through what? Ministry gifts and spiritual gifts. Number three, God can also speak to us about his will using godly friends and family. This is a simpler method of God reaching us, though we at times dismiss it. God can use your godly friends and family. At times we dismiss it, we discountenance it, we devalue it, not knowing that one of the reasons why God has put people around us is because we want to reach us. That's why the quality of people you allow in your space must be people who are yielded to God. Don't allow jagbajantis. Bye-bye to jati-jati. For you to hear God at times, you must improve the quality of the people in your life. The people around you. They'll be able to tell you what God is saying. I mean, pastor will tell you there are some things I said. I didn't say them like, thus said the Lord. Did I? I just said it. I said, do this, do this. Now, when I said it to him, he was smart to catch it. Because when the word comes, you must also have a receptive spirit to catch it. Godly family and friends around you are part of your assets. That is why you must clear the space. One of the people in this church, I told him yesterday, the day I came on Friday, he came, he wanted to follow me to the car. I said, don't follow me. I don't want people like you. He was shocked. Improve the quality of people around you. You need people who see. You need people who hear. You need people who see God and hear God. And when you have such people in your space, you are a blessed person. That is why you need to always look at the type of people in your space, promote some people, demote some people, and remove some people. Because, you see, not all the people around you are profitable. All friendship is good, but not all friendship is profitable. When I look at my phone, and in 1 year or 2 years, you have not called me, you have not texted me, I'm the only one texting you, I delete your number. It used to be 1 year. Now I've reviewed it. It's 6 months. I either block you or remove you. Gabadaya. One man sent me a message, I've been calling your number. I said, keep calling it. Keep calling it. He said, I want to say something. I said, you cannot come to me when you want to use me. I'm not a leftover. I'm not a consultant. I'm in your life as a friend. A friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 17:17. Proverbs 18:24. He that has friend must show himself friendly. I don't want jagbajantis. Look at your neighbor and say, jagbajantis. Eliminate jagbajantis. Eliminate jagbajantis. You're welcome, Pastor B. God bless you. God bless you. So, it's important for you to do that. Now, we need to have this kind of thing in view. Because it's the way God speaks to us. Through godly families and friends. Don't stop dismissing what your friends say because you are friends. There's something they call in Nigeria, see finish. are times when a friend gives you a word you think is useless because you know him now. He's not very spiritual. But God can speak through the mouth of a donkey. And he can speak through the mouth of a cock. Peter, until the cock crew, Peter never knew anything was wrong. Balaam, the monkey, had to use the voice of a man. So God can use godly friends to speak to you what his will is. There are some things my friend have told me that helped my ministry, that helped my life. There are some things family members told me. I'm not saying they're going to be accurate all the time, but you should be like an old cow who can separate the wheat from the chaff. Number four, another way God speaks to us is through what I call attention getters. What do you mean by attention getters, Brother George? God loves us so much, he will resort even to pain to speak to us at times. At times, this is the only language some people understand. Pain. I call them attention getters. It could be financial pain that God will use to speak to you that you have not been financially responsible. It could be marital pain God will use to speak to you about the way you have been treating people. It could be through career pain. God will get your attention to let you know that your job is not your God. The same job you trust, you lose it. And you remain unemployed. Then God can get your attention. Pay attention getters. Listen to this. Jonah. God told Jonah. You know some people don't get ear. Look at your neighbor and say, you have ear, B. Use it for hearing. Matthew 13:16. He said, Blessed are your eyes for the see and your ear the hear. But some people have eyes, they don't use it. They have ears, they don't use it. God told Jonah, Jonah, go like this. Go to Nineveh, that city of 120,000 people, and speak to them. They need to repent. Where did Jonah go? He went the other direction. Now, when you look at Jonah in the other direction, God said, do this. That's my will. I want this will to be done on earth. Because I'm not interested in anybody dying, but that everybody should be saved. But here you are. You're too full of prejudice. Prejudice against women. Prejudice against black people. Prejudice against people from one part of the country. Prejudice against some ministers. You're just prejudiced. And then instead of going this direction, instead of giving them the money God says you give them, you head in the other direction. And when Jonah was on the other direction, he entered into a boat. Everybody thought, oh, it was good. But you see, he's a prophet. And he accepted the call to be a prophet. But was a disobedient prophet. First Samuel 15:22. To obey is better than sacrifice. So some of us, as I'm speaking this morning, like Apostle said earlier, you are in disobedience. God said, go like this. You are on this side. You are inside the boat. And because of your presence inside the boat, there is a storm. Inside the boat. We are going to throw you inside the water. Because that's what happened. When they threw Jonah inside, you see what they threw Jonah inside the boat, inside the water, he didn't know something was wrong. Punishment had to be upgraded. Then a fish came and swallowed him. And he was inside the fish's belly. One day, he was still stubborn. I don't want to go. I'm going to leave that. Second day, when he noticed that life was ebbing away, he started praying inside the boat, inside the fish. He started praying. And the fish subterraneously crossed over to the side where he was supposed to go and vomited him there. And immediately he landed, he started preaching immediately. Repent. Kingdom of God is at hand. Now, God extracted that his will be done on earth through pain. Through pain. Some people don't have ears to listen. It is pain that teaches from people lesson. They told me about a man who was a member of some cultic group and was following the cult. I told the daughter, keep preaching to him. So he preached to this man, preached to this man, preached to this man. This man did not listen. The man had stroke. Number one, and the man went there again and preached to the guy went to preach to him, preach to him. He said, will you accept Christ? And I said, second round of stroke. Then the man said, and I said, will you accept Christ? Yes. Some people is only pain. The will of God is God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But some people will not listen. Look at your neighbor and say, use knowledge instead of punishment. Psalm 119 verse 71, he said, it is good for me to have been afflicted that I may learn. It is punishment that teaches some people lessons they refuse to learn theoretically. The fourth way God speaks to us is through pain. Financial pain. You treat everybody like shit. Then your wife files a divorce and clean you out. That's when you begin to normalize. You now greet people. Good morning. Oh. Good morning. Oh. If that did not happen, you never greet anybody. You say, I'm not going to greet for anybody. It was the punishment he gave you that made you learn. Some people would never learn theoretically. So pain, I'm not saying that every pain in our life is God speaking to us. God loves us so much he will resort even to pain to speak to us. At times it's the only way which God can get our attention in a circumstance, e.g. Jonah. This is not to say that all the pain in our lives is God trying to speak to us. God used this for us. Look, me, as you see me, I'm a very stubborn person. There are some things God used. It was pain God used at times for me to respect my wife. I never used to respect her. Because as a prince, you felt women were just not to... I said, you're supposed to be seen, not to be... Don't say anything. You're not supposed to be hard. Pain. Seriously, I went to God. God said, look, I can't heal you. You're in disobedience. I said, what happened? He said, no man hated his own flesh, but nourished it. You're treating your wife badly. That's why I'm treating you roughly. That's why your prayer is not hard. Your prayer is hindered because you are I will insult you, God. I will insult. Now, what I'm saying is this. But that is God's way of correcting us. Some people, that is the only thing you understand. Cain. Spiritual Cain. When God will take everything in which you put confidence. Take that job. Take that health. Take that position. Take that power. And that is when you can now hear God. Say, hey, okay, God, I can hear you now. I can hear you now. I can see you clearly now. The rain is gone. Number five, God speaks to us through silence. God speaks to us at times by saying nothing. No comment. I'm going to make one of my messages available on this subject. I don't want to speak about it too long. It's titled No Comment. I'm going to send it to Pastor. If you need a copy of it, how does God speak to us through silence? Do you know God spoke to Joseph through silence? Joseph was in Potiphar's house and in prison for 13 years, and he did not hear God say anything. God spoke to David through silence. When David was running from pillar to post, being pursued by Saul, God never said anything. He was on the run for 14 years. God never said anything. Silence at times is golden. Silence speaks at times louder than words. When they spoke to Jesus Christ and harassed him and beat him up, are you the king of the Jews? Are you this? What did he do? He kept silent. Silence is golden. At times God was, that was what God did to Saul. God told Saul, Saul disobeyed God so many times. 1 Samuel 13, Samuel told Saul, wait until I come. He did not wait. 1 Samuel 15, Samuel told Saul, go to Amalek, do this. He did not. He went there, he did what he wanted. And so a time came when he wanted to bounce back. He sought the face of God. He had nothing. Some of us, it's not because God is not in heaven. Psalm 65 verse 2. Oh, that God that heareth prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are inclined to thy prayers. Before you call, I've heard. Why are you speaking, I've heard. But why is it that when you speak to God, he does not hear? Jeremiah 5:25, your sins and your iniquity withhold good things from you. God's silence at times is a way in which God speaks to us. When God is silent, why is he silent? At times, God is silent because he's spoken before, you didn't listen. So why say it again? Why is God silent? He's silent because it is useless to speak again. And that's why things are the way they are. And it's only God's silence at times that some people understand. They don't understand God's voice. If God's voice don't work, God's silence works. God's silence works. And that is one way God will tell you, you will know you're out of the will of God. I remember one day, one minister like that messed up, and I gave him a piece of my mind. You know, many of us give pieces of mind away. You've given us away so many pieces, there's none left. I gave him a piece of my mind. Who do you think you are? So the next morning, I wanted to pray. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art... No voice, nothing. No feeling, nothing. No vibes, nothing. I said, Holy Spirit, Holy... Now, look, many times we don't... happened there. God was insisting on us exercising his will. Be at peace with all men. Don't strive. The servant of God must not strive. As much as life within you, follow peace with all men and holiness. Without will, no man will see God. But I'm giving peace of mind away. And I'm coming to God's presence, worshiping him. Oh, take me past the outer court into the holy place. Holy Spirit, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. No lily. Nothing. A broken and a contrite spirit, God will not repent. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. He said, now you are speaking. I'm sorry. He that covereth his sin will not prosper, but whosoever confesseth it shall obtain mercy. At times, the way God tells us what his will is, silence. If he used to speak continuously, because he speaks all the time, when all of a sudden he's no longer speaking, you know something is wrong. A dog that sees you and wags his tail, when it sees you begin to bark, you know something is wrong. Because I'm used to the voice of God. I can't go a day without the voice of God. My steps are ordered by God. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I lift up my hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, thank you for the joy and the privilege of living this day. I give you glory and give you praise. I worship him. From that point, I know whether I've done something wrong or not. A day is poorly spent when you don't hear from heaven. It's important for us to realize this. That is the way, another way God speaks to us. He speaks to us in silence. Two more ways God speaks to us. God speaks to us through audible voice. Apostle already spoke about that so many times over. That is when the Holy Ghost speaks to you directly in your spirit. You hear it as if to say someone is speaking to you from outside. It's in your spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27, lighting all the inward parts of the belly. Psalm 18:28, lighting my candle, O Lord, enlighten my darkness. You will hear it. That was the voice I had December 19, 1981. I have called thee, I have chosen thee, I have ordained and anointed thee. When I had those words, I looked around. That is the same word you find in Acts 8:29 that spoke to Philip, join yourself to that chariot. That was the same word you find in Acts 9:4 when the Holy Ghost said to Saul, 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 why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am he whom you persecute. The Holy Ghost has a voice. The Holy Ghost is not just a ghost. The Holy Ghost has a voice. That is a voice in Acts 10:13 that said to Peter, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Ah, what a beautiful thing to hear from the Holy Ghost. Oh, many times, I remember, let me tell you this. When I was a lecturer, we closed that day, we were going to home. And the Holy Spirit said to me, look at that man. And I looked at him. He said, by Monday, he's going to be dead. He said, go speak to him. Now, that is the will of God is not that anybody should die, but all should repent. Ezekiel 18:23, Ezekiel 18:32. God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked that dies, but that he will repent. And so the Holy Ghost said to me, said, by Monday, he's going to be dead. Go talk to him. So I walked up to the man and said, sir, the Holy Ghost just said to me that you are going to, you don't have so many years to live anymore. You saw the style I used. You don't have many years to live anymore. And I said, are you ready to meet the Lord? He said, what do you mean? He said, I'm a Muslim. I said, that doesn't matter. You have to make your ways right. All of us were something else before we came to Christ. In my family, we were idol worshippers. We became Muslims. My father became an interpreter for the Methodist evangelist. And so, when he started interpreting for them, they discovered he had not been baptized. So they said to him, if you are going to keep this job, you are going to be baptized. So my father converted to Methodism. Methodist people converted people by every means, job and everything. That's how my father was converted. And then we later took it to the next level by getting born again. So I told the man, I said, you are going to be dead. Eventually, when the man would not listen, I said, you are going to be dead by Monday. The man said, ah, ha, ha. He said, go on, look at this boy. He said, you're frightening me. He said, I will come to you on Monday. I said, what if you don't come? That day I held on to this man trying to convince him. I said, just let us pray this. That's right. Even if by Monday you are okay, you can go back. The man will not listen. It was in the days of kerosene explosion in Nigeria. This man was not living with his wife. I still remember the picture because it left a vivid impression of what the Holy Ghost can speak to us to instill that his will be done. His will is not that anybody should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. God is not slack concerning his promise. I said, anybody can't slackness. He will have one man to be saved. So, this man went to his house that day, Friday. It was during Ramadan. I still remember. And this man was cooking. And the kerosene stove exploded. He carried the kerosene stove to throw it outside. But the whole thing poured on him. He had 80% burn. On Monday when I got to office, people were gathering around, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he's dead just like you said. He's dead just like you said. His word does not return to him void. He's just like that. No, but God spoke to me. God will never do a thing, according to Amos 3:7 and 8, without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophet. Many of my friends, some of them, God will say, you see, if that man does not change his ways and repent, he's going to be dead by next year. You know what? I call some of them and I tell them. Some people have averted it that way. I mean, God sent the prophet Elijah to Hezekiah. Isaiah 38:1, set your house in order. You will die, you will not live. What did he do? He turned his face to the wall. And God redeemed his life. He never died when he should have died. There are certain things you do to prolong your days and things you can do to shorten your days. The sixth way with God's will is that voice of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you should go and manufacture voice. Oh. But you see, when you train your spirit, your human spirit needs to be trained, developed, exercised. One way you can do it is praying in the spirit, confessing scriptures, meditation in the scriptures, stretching yourself, listening to God, speaking to him, waiting for him to speak to you back. There are very many ways you can train your spirit so that your spirit can hear. God is always speaking. God, at times I'll see somebody and God said, this is going to happen to that person next year. Oh, this is going to happen to that person. I was in a church one day and there was this man ministering, and people said, hey, I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, adulterer. Adulterer. I said, why are you telling me? He said, go tell him. Hey! How will I tell him? How shall these things be, seeing that I know not this man? And the Lord says, go to arrange it. For one way or the other, the person who was hosting that meeting invited him. I said, please come into the vestry, sir. I want you to meet a man of God. I said, huh? When I got there, I did not do what some people do. Here I come, I'm the Lord of here. Man of God. Come, bless you, sir. He said, I don't know. I said, yes, you know me. After we talk. I said, this is what the Lord said. He looked at me like this. He said, thank you. He said, it's the Lord. Thank you. So, but then he told me the problem he's been having. This man was married. He had a problem with his marriage. And all these things started creeping on him gradually. And I was able to speak to him. He said, this has stopped me. He said, I never knew anybody could know like that. So you can see now, there's nothing hidden. It's the voice of the Lord. God wants his will done in that man's life. The man is still in ministry today, tomorrow. Every time he sees me, he says, my father. When you want people to correct things, you don't use gifts of the spirit to harass them. You don't correct them publicly. You correct them privately and acknowledge them publicly. Whenever people ask me about that man, I say, oh, he's a man of the spirit. He's doing good. Why? I was able to correct him privately and then commend him publicly. The reason why some of our corrections don't work is that you stand on the pulpit and use the people like a weapon. The weapon of our warfare. Use the pulpit to be prophesying. No, don't misuse the pulpit. We need to have character. The Bible says when someone is overthrown in a fault, let them who are spiritual do what? Restore in the spirit of what? Meekness, lest you too be tempted. The way God speaks to us, when it comes to his will, through the voice of the Holy Ghost. And over the years, that's something I have done, developed my spirit so firmly and so well. I still do that a lot to make sure I'm in good shape. You see, spiritual shape is different from physical shape. You can look at me and say I'm not in shape because I have a big belly. But if you see me in the spirit, I always tell people this. When you fast and lose body fat in the natural, you gain spiritual fat in the spiritual. Leanness of physical being in fasting exercises generates greater spiritual stamina. So while you are fasting and you are losing fat in the natural, you are building up yourself on your most holy faith. Our faith needs to be built up. We need to be built up in the inward man. There are some people who are fit physically. You see them rippling, 6-pack, 8-pack, 20-pack. Me, I have 1 bag. But you see, in the spirit, the number of packs I have. Look at your neighbor and say, how many packs do you have? One more here, then I close. The seventh way God speaks to us is through impressions, notions, inward witness, inspiration. When God speaks to us through our inward man, we call it inspiration. You will just know. They say, how do you know? I just know. I know that I know that I know. You just know. They ask you, how did you know? I know it. How? The Spirit of God witnessed with our spirit that we are. That is the way God speaks to us. In what witness? You just know. Divine communication goes on in the realm of the spirit at all times. You just know. They that know their God. Apostle Paul said that I may know him. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering. If need be, I want to be made conformable to the kind of death he died on the cross. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. That is one of my prayers. I want to know you, Lord. I don't just want to know you by you happening to show up in my bedroom. No. That's not what I'm looking for. Not after the sight of the eyes or the wandering of desires and knowing within. With joy shall we draw water out of the well of salvation. With joy shall we draw water. That is the seventh way his will is made known. His will is made known. The seventh way his will is made known is through the inward will. You just know. I told you about when I was going to buy a Rolls Royce. You remember on Friday, those of you who are here? I just knew. I just felt uncomfortable. A member of our church left the service one day and she stayed on the road waiting for a cab. And deep within her, she just knew that she needed to move from that place. The Holy Spirit witnessed to her spirit, the place where you are staying is not comfortable, move. And she just moved. And the Holy Spirit said again to her, move a little bit more. Just impression, not a voice, impression. Like where she was staying is not the right place. So she moved. And she had not moved the second time for more than 4 seconds. When the place where she was, a big trailer, lost control and passed through that place, sweeping everything that was along its track. What healed her, what saved her, was the inward witness, the intuition of the inner man. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. This is not a feeling, this is not the gift of suspicion. Because some people have this gift of suspicion. When they see somebody's wife, she must be possessed. The way she's looking, look at her eyes, the way she's turning. This is not after the sight of the eyes. This is a spiritual revelation. I went to a place one day. Listen to this. A grandmother invited me to pray for her son. And I went there and the woman said, hey, pray, pastor, please pray. Hey, Rakapo Tusa, hey, Kepete. And I saw her. She was, after she prayed, she said like that, I said, sit down, sit down, sit down. I've never, you can't put me in a hurry. You can't stampede me into anything. I said, I will worship God in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love those worship. I mean, you know, that, those things you do. Am I? Yo. If I were here, the troubles would have ended then. You have just plugged into another song. We don't preach any message. Hallelujah. And I saw the mother was the one that had her hands around the throat of the son. And I said to her, Mama, why are you doing this? Listen to what she said. She said, you see me? I said, yes. I'm telling you. I said, Mama, why are you doing this? I was in the occult for 8 years. Real occult. I would put my feet against the wall. And I would travel from Nigeria to France, to Turkey, to Peru, to Brazil, anywhere. The gift is gone now, but because some people, even when I minister now, they say, probably that gift have not left you. Probably you still switch it. I was in New York. So I know what it is. I said, Mama, why now? She fell on her knees. The son said, she's one? I said, yes. Ah, he said, but she's my greatest sympathizer. Said, she's the one. I said, Mama, why are you doing this? The mama stood up. He said, I told him to settle me in the village. And she said I should come and live here in the city. Why should I do that? I don't want to live in the city. I want to live in the village. I said, set me a shop. He said, village life. I should come to. I said, I don't want. He said, so I had to create something for him. I said, Mama, why? He said, that's the reason. If you settle me now, I go. When you get to a place to minister, don't just minister. Be sensitive in the spirit. I was in one place one day. I went to minister here. This man that I went to minister to, you know what happened? The man was swallowing tablets and it was coming out in his excrement undissolved. Undissolved. Very influential man in Ilorin. And so they told me, I said, you know, Chief so-and-so, he's been admission. His case is very serious. He will swallow tablet and the tablet will come out whole, not dissolved, not melted. He said, go there. So I went there. When I got there, oh, he said, I have a judge, you are here. He said, Bishop so-and-so came here. He prayed for me. You know the canon of Bishop Scott? I said, he came here, he prayed. You know evangelist so-and-so? He named about 10 people. He said, they came and prayed presumptuously. But when I prayed, when I got there, I said, God, what is the strategy? I didn't hear prayer straight. A wise man woke up with his eyes in his head. He don't have an ear to hear, let him hear. If you have eyes to see, look first. Receive instruction. So I said, Holy Spirit, what do we do? He said, hold your hand around his bed. I went there with some intercessors. He said, I'm praying in tongues non-stop for 30 minutes. And then begin to call the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is saved. Say, in the name of God. In the name of God. In the name. By the time we called the seven, I said, stop! Stop! I was the one who afflicted myself with the sickness. Biko, what you do now? What you happen? He said, I told my family members to give me money to rehabilitate myself and set up a business. They won't give me. So I decided to waste their money. So I afflicted myself with this sickness. So that's why I'm sick. He said, have they not spent the money now? Then he started laughing. evil. Have they not spent the money now? Have they not spent the money now? He said, I wanted them not to spend the money. I said, give me the money. They won't give me. Have they not spent the money now? I said, since you have done it, undo it. He said, I know what to do. Just go. I said, I'm not going until you do it. I'm not going. He said, okay, I will have to follow him to his house. This was the hospital. Follow him to the house. He brought out one calabash like that. Akutukwe, whatever he called. When you fight, though we are in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge, bringing into captivity every force of the obedience of Christ. That man is one of my best friends. He gave his life to Christ, God filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a member of our church for a while until he left the city, but whenever I come back to the city, he visits me. I told you, I said, don't worry, I will give you the money. Your family is not just people who are in your flesh. Your family is people in the spirit. Let me say this as I close, because I wanted to preach another part of the message, but God said this is enough. It's enough. Some of you have just been hanging by the thread of your teeth. It's enough. Apostle, please join me on the street. Now listen to me. The reason why I'm calling him up is we need a time of intercession that will break the effects of our not doing the will of God. Some of us are going through what we are going through because you've transgressed against God's will. God spoke to you once, he spoke to you twice, he spoke to you three times. But you have never really responded. You need to repent and go back to the first works. You need to relay that foundation. Get your commitment back. Get your devotion back. We cannot avenge disobedience when our own obedience is not complete. Let me tell you this. By the time Apostle begins to call the prayer point, some of you need to leave your seat as a sign of repentance. You come to the front here. Okay? And open up your heart and open up your life and say, God, I'm not going to leave this place, this mountain, without transformation. This is Mount Transformation for you. You should not go back home the same the way you came. Transformation is not just coming to hear the word, but doing something about the word. As the prayer points are called and the heavens are open, respond from your heart. Say, I'm not going to leave this place the same way I came. You're coming out with that broken and the contrite spirit and you're telling God, I'm going back a different person. I'm not going back the same way I came. I'm going back transformed. I want to be a better person. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better church member. I want to be a better member of the body of Christ. Does somebody know what I'm talking about? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Rise on your feet. God bless you. Come on. Listen. I'm going to give out to the power of apostle. He's going to lead us. Let me say this to you. Don't sit down there. Listen, what I'm saying, I know. The sign of repentance is you begin a journey. You begin a journey. And when you start the journey, you start with repentance. Repentance from dead works, then faith towards God. God said, I have made my will known to some people, but they have been holding themselves back. Wives have held out their husband. Husbands have held back their wives. Pastors have held back your congregation. Congregation, you have held back your pastor. The time of ignorance God has overlooked. This is the day God has made. You rejoice and be glad in it. Before we begin to pray, just come out. Just come out. Just come out. Over to Isha. Over to Isha. Strong.
The Bible says that the broken and the contrite heart God will not despise. If you want to do business with God, you must not lose your virtue of sincerity. Your virtue of sincerity. As the Holy Spirit begins to knock at the door of your heart, you respond quickly. You respond swiftly. If there are things, issues that the Holy Spirit is beginning to impress on your heart, you need to respond right now. For those of you standing out here, begin to cry to Him. Begin to cry to Him. Forget about your neighbor, the person standing by your side. You are doing business with Him. You are saying, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I came for this conference so that I can experience a transformation. I came to contact grace, to go beyond complacency, to contact grace, to go beyond disobedience, to go beyond rebellion, so that I can walk with you. Somebody talk to Him right now. Talk to Him right now. Talk to Him right now. Right now. For some of you, there's a call of God on your life, but you've been postponing it. You've been postponing it. You've been postponing it. And every time it seems like God is insisting, you look for a way to distract yourself. You look for a brilliant way to distract yourself so that you will not respond. So this is the day of response. This is the day of response, and you're telling the Lord, I respond. I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry, oh God. I am sorry, oh God. I take my walk with you seriously. I take my adventures with you seriously. I am sorry, oh God. I am sorry, oh God. I prepare my heart to engage. I prepare my heart to submit. I prepare my heart to surrender. I prepare my heart to hear your voice. I am sorry, oh God. I'm willing to walk with you. I'm willing to hear your voice. I'm willing to navigate the way as you lead me, as you provide guidance. Make sure you are talking to Him. Engage Him right now. Engage Him right now.